May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do please sit down. It is only John's Gospel which tells us about Nicodemus. He places the account of this nighttime visit to Jesus very early in the Gospel in chapter 3. John makes no secret of Jesus' identity. It is very clear from the start. He tells us about Jesus' first sign, turning the water into wine at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. And that was when Jesus still said his time had not come. Next, John tells us how Jesus went into Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. It was on this occasion that Jesus was angered by the money changers in the temple precincts and threw them out. This was very early in Jesus' ministry, according to John. The other Gospels place it later. And it would have been quite shocking. Word would have travelled very quickly in Jerusalem. Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a leader of the Jews, and a significant figure at the temple, a member of the Sanhedrin, was intrigued. He wanted to know more and to speak with Jesus. He visited Jesus at night. Well, the cool of the evening would have been pleasant for conversation. Perhaps we think of God walking in the cool of the Garden of Eden. But there was more to it than that. John hints that Nicodemus was a secret inquirer for fear of his fellow Jews. So what would that journey have been like? It's likely that as an important person at the temple that Nicodemus would have lived in the upper city area. We don't know really where Jesus was staying that night. Some scholars think it was outside the walls, just outside the walls. But that would have been very difficult for Nicodemus to visit because those gates, city gates, would have been locked. So it was probably somewhere inside the walls, but perhaps not too far for Nicodemus to travel. We don't know how he knew where to find Jesus either. There's lots of mystery in the story. We can imagine that the streets of Jerusalem were dark, almost deserted, just some Roman soldiers on patrol, and spies lurking in the shadows, and thieves. It was quite a dangerous place at night, which is really why it's thought that Jesus and his disciples often left the city and went to Bethany later in his ministry at night time. But Nicodemus made it there safely. There's Jesus standing there to greet him. Reading the Gospel, it seems, or at least it seems to me, as though Nicodemus had a private conversation with Jesus, that he found Jesus alone, like this. But most artists' impressions show others in the background, Jesus' disciples probably. And as Jesus tended to travel with them so that he could teach them, that also seems quite likely. But of course, that would have changed the dynamic, wouldn't it, for that conversation? It wasn't one-to-one. There would be other people there. And the two of them talked and talked. Nicodemus knew that Jesus was a teacher sent from God because of the signs that he did. But he hadn't grasped that he was not just visiting a rabbi sent from God, but God himself. How must it have felt to be there in his presence, in secret, hoping to be given clear answers to his questions, or perhaps some special message to take back to the Sanhedrin? But Jesus didn't make it that easy for Nicodemus. He did not show the Sanhedrin leader the deference that he might have expected. No, no, no. Jesus challenged him, even teased him, with what felt like riddles about being born again. A lot of the images Jesus used seemed familiar, but he was using them in startling ways. Poor Nicodemus. It had been a long day, and now his head was reeling with this debate. It was a bit much, really, he thought, for Jesus to question why he, as a teacher of Israel, could not understand what was being said. But he wanted to learn, and some verbal tussling was the Jewish way of doing things. But it was hard going, very hard going for Nicodemus. Had it been such a good idea to risk so much by slipping out at night to visit Jesus? Jesus seemed to speak of himself as the Son of Man. What was that about? And about being lifted up, just as Moses had lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Jesus was saying that whoever believed in the Son of Man would be lifted up and have eternal life. But how did that compare to Moses and the brass serpent? It was all very difficult. Nicodemus was tired. His head was reeling. He didn't feel he'd shown himself in his best light. We probably all have conversations like that. And yet he went home strangely elated by Jesus' words about love, eternal life, and the world being saved. All these thoughts stayed with Nicodemus. His admiration for him grew, while at the same time other Pharisees became ever more angry. When the chief priests and the Pharisees sought to have Jesus arrested by the temple police, Nicodemus could keep quiet no longer. He spoke up, reminding his colleagues that the law required a person to be heard before being judged. Finally, once Jesus had been crucified, Nicodemus found the courage of his convictions. He'd not been able to help Jesus very much during his earthly life, had not been able to stop his colleagues from their cruel actions. But now he did what he could to show respect. He brought 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes and helped Joseph of Arimathea to embalm the body. It was his act of love. Nicodemus had indeed been born again of the Spirit. We've also heard briefly this morning about Abram's journey many centuries earlier. He was an old man when God asked him to leave his country and set out with only a promise. A promise of blessing and protection. This map shows the length of the journey which it's possible he took, and there are various ideas about what he did. It was a lot of travel. It wasn't safe then. We know it's not safe today in that area. Abram and Nicodemus trusted in God, and their journeys were fruitful, not just for themselves, but for all of us now who follow on. We are invited to participate with God and his love for the world as we travel through Lent and throughout life. The way is not always clear, but let it be our prayer to be blessed with the courage to step out on the journey God has in mind for us, for you, for me, for our church community, and for all who love and trust him. Amen.